Welcome to the call sheet. Woo-hoo! Hey, Gabe, do you have a live mic?
I don't think so.
I hear you now. Yeah! Welcome! Happy February! Oh, my God. I'm going to talk like a valley for the whole show. It'll be
please
awesome.
Don't. Please, just... I'll get out my now illegal gun and shoot myself with it.
Would you ever live in the valley?
Yeah, I lived in the valley. I lived in the valley when I first moved down here.
I don't think I can really talk
Me
to you anymore.
Too. That's,
really?
Yeah.
You, both of you? You
I started
heathens.
My LA adventure as a valley girl.
I lived in Burbank, which is kind of the valley. It's considered somewhat the valley. And then I lived out in Sherman Oaks for a little while. And now I'm in the land of sanity. I'm in Hollywood.
Isn't it? It's not the land of sanity.
No,
it's the
I'm
land
being,
of complete fucking insanity, which is
I'm
why you
ironic.
Feel at home.
I'm being
Welcome
ironic.
Home, Gabe. Look, everybody out there, if you don't feel like the town you're in, the burg, the city, the ville, if you are yearning for the lights, the bright lights of the city, I dare you to come to Los Angeles. I dare you. I dare. Most people don't even last 13 weeks. Don't come with a dream. Please come with a skill or a trade or some sort of product you can sell, because we're all full up. On crazy 130,000 SAG actors in Los Angeles alone. It's a very hard way to make an easy living. That's why I've moved behind the lens with my producing partner, Gabe Romero of Poor Fish Entertainment. Thanks, Gabe, for having me under your wing and letting me use your toys and equipment and cameras and lights and stuff. It's really cute. I love it.
Just remember, it all belongs to me.
I know it does. That's I've sold my soul. But you're a good enough rooster that I get along with. I'm a rooster, too. I think that's why we work.
Yeah, we just discovered today that I'm a cock.
Mm-hmm. You're a cock. I wonder what, like, if you're a wood cock, a metal cock, or a fire cock. There's, like, different, depending on the year, there's a different thing. I think I'm a wood cock, which is good, because I've got a nice...
That wouldn't surprise me.
My nickname was Woody in my formative years, because I was always, like, looking at some porn magazine or had some sort of boner.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. And I'm so repressed having been sexually molested as a child. I'm like, just not that. I was like, I'm practically celibate. I'm very choosy and picky of those that I take beds with. And does like 5-6 sexual partners in 30 years sound like I'm a fucking whore?
No comment. I'm not gonna.
You're not gonna comment on that?
I'm not gonna weigh in on that one.
Okay, four of them in the last week, but that's a different story. Welcome to the call sheet. You can call in. This is a live
Please
show.
Do.
So if
Please
you're listening
do.
Now, call in 800-893-9562.
So you're saying it's 800-893-9562.
Yes, or as Andras Jones would say, 2659-398-008.
Just
you read
to be
it backwards,
clear,
and I'm like, how satanic are
just
you?
Just to be clear, that is not the number.
That is not the number.
It is actually
you call that, and you're
going
to fall to a Nigerian email scam, and you'll be giving some prince like $3 million.
Yeah, no, it's actually 800-893-9562.
We have a guest. Oh, my God, Jack's here.
Oh, God help us all.
Oh, God help us all. We're joined tonight by Jack Cohen, a former radio personality who is ready to be on the radio again. Jack, thank you for coming.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, okay, well, let's get him sit down. And I'm like, come on over here. You want to come on over here?
Yeah, take the hot seat next to, yeah.
Oh, it's hot.
Next to Keith.
I get to touch him all night.
Yeah, I was going to say, brace yourself for serious personal space violations.
So we are live. The number again is 800-893-9562. Oh, where's my little call box, Mindy?
That's a new record for us. I think we've said it now 4 times.
How do I do this?
That's unprecedented.
No, it was, we
said
it twice, then we said it once backwards, then I said it another third time.
No, and I said it a second time.
Did you?
I said it twice, you've said it twice.
Could argue about this.
That's
I have a call. I can't hit the caller sheet. Could you turn them live for me, please? Thank you. Hello, caller. Thanks for calling in. How can we take your order?
Caller, are you there?
I can't.
Looks like they hung up on us.
Oh, you chicken shit.
Aww.
If I had a nickel God for every time I was hung up on, I'd be a wealthy man.
Thank you so much. I guess it wasn't that urgent. So if you forgot the number after you dialed it, it's 800-893-9562. This is a call sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine. Our engineer, Mindy Jorgensen, is coming in because I'm a computer nerd. Oh, wait, look, shit's happening on my computer. I have this like cool Star Trek double screen. We have a widescreen TV with our countdown. We have another 50 or so minutes left. Oh, 818 called in. Do you know someone from the Valley? Oh my God, we were talking about the Valley.
That's what it was. We inspired their participation.
Jack, how are you?
I'm great.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome.
How'd you know it was me? I didn't talk to anybody. Like, there's no screening process whatsoever.
Well, we don't know it's you. We don't know who you are. We just know that you're in the 818. Who are you? Tell us who you are.
This is John Donahue. I pay your salary, pal.
Okay, hang up. Hang up.
John, am I to understand that you went to a very special place tonight that nobody, I mean, a few hundred people maybe have been able to let into this club?
It is the most called Lindsay Lohan's Vagina?
No, way more people have been in there. It's called Club 33 at Disney.
Oh.
Funny you should mention that. I am on the balcony overlooking New Orleans Square from Club 33 with a bottle of wine in me.
In you already. I hope it went through your mouth and not through your ass.
I was about to say, John, it's probably if
do they really give wine enemas at Club 33?
No.
If you give it a good tug, it'll come out.
My friends, thank God, because it's like an $85. You know, you have to pay that. What's that called? When you have to pay on
corking fee.
You have to pay $85 no matter what.
It's called a corking fee.
Oh wow! Just to come in.
No.
Just to come in, pretty much. So, like a cover charge, you know, like a dinner. Like, you have to at least spend $85. Thank God I have no money and my friends paid for all this stuff.
They did. Who are your friends? You have friends.
I was going to say, you have friends, John?
Well,
that's surprising.
I'm his friend, Gabe. We do movie night. We watched Death Wish 3, was it?
We did. Oh.
I was going to say, we watched Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, God.
We did. Well, I didn't watch that with you. I don't know who's in
Yes, you
but
did.
Club 33.
You were sitting right over there, John.
What's that, sir?
I said you were sitting right over there when we watched Adventures in Babysitting. It was right here on the big screen.
Like vipers.
Look at you. How quickly you forget. I feel so.
I didn't forget. I didn't know what the hell you're talking about for a minute because I have a bottle of wine in me.
I'm telling you, give it a swift tug, unclench, and it'll come right out.
Listen, is Disneyland still open at 8 o'clock, John?
It's open, and it is busier than I have seen it in years. It's like Christmas. I know it's like before Christmas. It's just packed here.
Describe the inside
everywhere.
Of Club 33. Is it? What does it look like?
Well, it looks like your normal swanky Beverly Hills restaurant if you were to walk into one. I thought it would be special. I thought there'd be like an animatronic Walt or something to greet you. Nothing. It's just like, you know, a bunch of tables. It's very swanky and nice and posh. Nothing special. I think the only thing about it is you're eating in Disneyland. That's the special thing about it.
Right. And drinking, because you can't drink anywhere but Club 33.
Excuse me, I did save you a stack of napkins that say 33 from the men's room and some mints that say 33 on them, because where else are you going to get those?
We just got some new listeners from an IP address in Anaheim. I think they're onto you, John. quickly shove them up your butt. Get out of there. No, I can't believe it. So who's, if you could, I don't want you to drop names, but what's going on at the party? What's the party for? Why are you there? What's happening?
A friend of mine is Steve Zarnecki, who's the head of the site Beyond the Marquee. He's having his 40th birthday party, which was, by the way, last month. But we're celebrating it again tonight, because it's the only night we can get into Club 33 because his friends were flying in, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it's like a party of 10 of us. And we knocked on the door. They took our name, and we actually got into this private club right next to Pirates of the Caribbean. It's amazing.
It's above that little restaurant that's actually overlooks the entrance to the Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Blue Bayou.
I love the Monte Cristo with the Blue Bayou.
Oh,
tonight's
God.
Show
the
is brought to you
I've ever had there.
By the Monte Cristo sandwich at the Blue Bayou, Disneyland, Anaheim, California.
listen to this, Keith. I have pictures. Tonight's meal consists of some kind of a lentil soup with pigeon inside of what do you call that, Steve? Like a noodle. Like a wonton. It was a dumpling with a baby pigeon inside. I'm not kidding you. Where else in Disneyland can you get pigeon in a dumpling?
I don't know, but it does not sound appetizing at all.
Frontierland? Big Bear Jamboree? I don't know where you would find that.
Sounds disgusting.
I still love the burgers in Tomorrowland. The $8 burgers.
By the way, I've never been to Disneyland.
Are you
Never
fucking
been.
Kidding me?
No.
Well, that's
I went to Disney World My dad worked for Disney for the better part of my adolescence, and so we went to Disney World like every other weekend. And I can't tell you how fucking fed up I am of that rat, but...
Did you go to its gay sister, the Epcot Center?
No, we went to all of them. We've been Epcot, MGM, Animal Kingdom, the whole nine yards, and if I never see those fucking ears again, it'll be too soon.
Right.
Gabe, I used to work at Disney MGM back when they used to call it Disney MGM.
Back in Orlando?
Yes, in Orlando. I lived there for 4 years, and I was the host of some kind of crazy water tank show. It was insane. It was fun.
That, yeah.
Was
you that were, the, if I believe, John Donahue hosted the Jaws ride.
That was at Universal.
That's
yes,
a Universal, yeah.
You can find a YouTube video online, John Donahue, Jaws ride, and it's the greatest adventure. You're hysterical in it. I love the fun that you have with it. And it was one of the last rides they did of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun, man. That was quite a few years there.
See, me and John know each other through Jaws, being my favorite movie, and I met him at a Jaws screening. And I love that you did the ride. I went to Universal Studios Thanksgiving with my mom, my little brother, my stepdad, and the best part of the ride was getting on Jaws. It's like barely getting like
I'm
right
sorry,
now though it's barely getting out like
the best part of the ride.
Yeah,
is
they don't even do the
Jaws.
Blood with the guy in the boat. They don't do any of that shit anymore. They set fire to a dock and then the shark makes it like maybe six, maybe a foot out of the water. It's all limp, but they've kept the original Jaws ride.
He's not the same as he was in Florida. The one here, he smiles at you. He looks really ridiculous. But the one in Florida before they tore it out, he looked like the one from the films. You know?
Do you think we'll ever have a new Jaws movie, like a remake?
Told you last time. I told you, yes. They're working on
yes,
it.
Yes, there It'll will happen. Be, I'm sure, but he'll be all CG.
Oh, man.
And no.
It's a shame, too, because what made Jaws great is that the machine didn't work. The shark didn't work, and so you don't see him until the end. It's, you know,
Who edited that? It was
it's brilliant because
Ada,
like
Ada. Oh God, who wrote the other Jaws log book? The editor of Jaws,
Carl Gottlieb, and somebody else.
The editor, and she, the whole everyone at the end of the each day would go to her house, Edith Fields or something like that.
Verna Fields.
Thank you, Verna Fields.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
On a Moviola, she'd have like 2-3 days of footage ago, and they would fly it first class back to Hollywood to develop it.
Well, I mean,
and they would cut it, and she'd make dinner for Steven Spielberg, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss. What's the other guy? Scheider? Yeah, that
Roy
guy.
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider. And would cut footage. And she, at one point, she would be assembling footage and have cut scenes completely and be like, I'm missing this. You need to shoot this. And tell Spielberg what to go out and shoot that day. It was great.
Well, it's incredible because essentially our entire philosophy behind monster movies.
Blockbusters.
Is built on an accident. It's built on something that didn't work. See, now we know if you really want to scare the audience, you don't show them the monster until the end. You wait. You
quick,
let them imagine. And now,
quickly
and, I mean,
followed
that's
3 years
been.
Later, after yeah. 3 or 4 years later, Alien came out. The original Alien, 1979, Ridley Scott. They don't show the fucker till it's about to rip her apart in her underwear in the last 5 minutes.
And it's all because of an accident. And it's all because something didn't work. And you know that if they remake it, now it's going to be digital. And now they'll just, and it loses that lightning in a bottle quality.
Hey, John, are they still doing that mist, like laser show over the river, over the Mississippi River there?
You should mention that. Not at Disneyland. I think you're thinking of, I like to call it Orgasmic, but I think it's Fantasmic. I always call it Orgasmic.
I saw it at Disneyland years ago, but they only ran it for a while.
We're going over, in fact, in a few moments, we're going over to California Adventure. I personally can't stand it, but we're going because my friend has never seen it. The World of Color. And it's just basically projected images of Disney movies on water. And I will take a nap from this wine-induced coma.
Nice. If you see anything for The Fox and the Hound, shout out. Woo! John,
are you kidding me?
John, I can't believe you're calling actually from Club 33 in Disneyland.
On the balcony. I keep showing my boobs. No one's throwing me shit. Just dirty looks.
I can understand why, John. I've seen you.
He's a tall, handsome man. What? He's a tall, handsome man. So tell me about your role in 1600. It's being pumped. I read it in every magazine, everything, LA Weekly. I see it on TV. How are you involved in 1600?
I have literally, I think, one line. Well, I remember one line, but here's the deal. It could come back as recurring, but the funny thing is the show keeps getting taken off every other Thursday for some special on NBC, and this next Thursday, I was one episode away from mine, and they're doing a special two-parter office episode for Valentine's Day, which is
that does not bode well.
I did an episode of Sibs, and they canceled the series two episodes before I would have been on.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it stays on the air, not only for my friends on the show, but for me as well, so I can add something to my reel. But I'm in episode 7, which airs a week after whatever one the next one airs, which is in 2 weeks. So it should be the end of this month.
Dude, Christopher Dorner could kill us all before that happens.
Don't say that.
No,
I'm
kidding.
Fingers crossed. I'm kidding. I might have another bottle of wine now because I didn't think about that.
Are you drinking red or white?
It's white. I had a choice.
I love
and,
you.
Delicious desserts.
A little
and
Chardonnay.
The food is pretty tasty.
I can't believe you ate a baby pigeon.
I didn't eat it. I ate around it. I ate the soup around the dumpling.
Dude, that's the thing about soup. You can't eat around it. It's in it. It's everywhere. It's stewed together.
I know. It was soaping up. The soup
had
like pigeon
meat in it. You ate baby pigeon.
Don't trust dumplings.
You ate baby pigeon.
Don't eat food that you can't see inside of. So like ravioli.
Doesn't give a crap. You're lucky you're there. You're going to eat what they serve you.
And you paid $85 or somebody else did to have the honor.
Someone else did. I'm here to soak it all in.
So wait, even if you're a member, you got to like cough up every time you want to show up?
I don't know how that works. I just know that I'm very lucky to be here, and then we're leaving in a few minutes to go see a show I hate. But I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes and calling into the call sheet. John, you are awesome. I can't believe you're there. I'm totally jealous.
Yeah, well, I got pictures.
What else did you do at Disneyland today? Did you go on any rides? Did you do anything?
We got here just as we were supposed to come in, so I went to Disney Walk, whatever you want to call it, the City Walk in Disneyland, and we went and had a drink, a 90-proof alcoholic beverage at Rainforest Cafe. And I must say, with the wine, I don't know, I might be in New Orleans right now.
Tonight's show brought to you by the Rainbow Cafe.
Believe me, if you were in Nolens, you'd be drinking something a lot stronger.
Yeah. Why not? 90% alcohol, I'll drink it, as long as it doesn't have an umbrella in it, because people are watching.
And that would be
good. You know what? If you're in Nolens, it's all right to drink something with an umbrella, because it's probably really fucking strong.
Why not? But I will have pictures of Club 33, and I'll show you guys, and it's all top secret. I got pictures of the men's room. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Tell me what Owen
it's
Wilson.
Wild, man.
What would Owen Wilson say about Club 33?
Wow, it's weird. There's like beads here, and you can't get them off the railing. They're like glued to it. It's weird. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Far out.
Wow, man.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys, and I'll see you soon. I hope.
Absolutely.
Have a good night, John.
There's a seat and a mic waiting for you, John.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good night, and I will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Later. Thanks for calling.
I'm going to go see the show that I hate.
Okay.
Have fun with that.
Later.
Wow. Yeah, wow. John's a little up-and-comer.
John's special.
He's a good connector.
John's special.
He's got lots of connections, and he knows how to network and walk up to strange people and say, would you do this and meet with this person and do that? And I was like, uh-huh. I was like, I can't do that.
I don't know why you can't do that.
You can do that.
At your show, I was at your show.
Fucking 100 gorgeous.
That's not true.
Contortionist fucking costume designers.
That's not true.
That are like probably on some sort of medication.
You're dramatically over exaggerating.
No, I'm not.
You're dramatically over exaggerating.
Your friends list.
But no, I was at your autograph show last week and went up to Erica Eleniak and invited her on the show. And we have you tweeted her? I told you to tweet her.
I haven't tweeted her.
You got to tweet her.
I'll tweet her live on the
tweet
show.
Tweet her right now.
Okay.
And no, you go up. You talk to people. You say, hey. You say, what's up? That's how I met you.
I had a big crush on her just from E.T.
Everybody had a big crush on her.
No. And then Under Siege.
Yeah.
Crazy Gary Busey movie.
Is that the fancy Under Siege?
Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Avec Grabosh. I don't know. She was like the girl that popped out of the cake and then was taken hostage and ran around half naked. In her room at the autograph show was Tippi Hedren, Jeannie.
Barbara Eden.
Thank you. We had Brad Keston and Angela Lee from Charlie Brown and Lucy, the voices. They were stuck in the adult room and all us 80s stars were like in the other room, a little smaller room. And they're like, we're in the old people's room. No, we want to be in your room. And Brad's very, very savvy. He had a square.
Brad's the man.
He had a square on his iPhone.
Yeah.
And the only sign I saw at the whole show that says we accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover.
That's Brad,
and
man.
And boom.
Brad Keston, if you're out there, man, when are you coming back on?
Brad,
we
I know.
Want you back on.
Call us, Brad. Call us.
We miss you, Brad. It's been like a week since I saw you.
Everyone said to say hi, and then you showed up. I turn around, and I just gotten a text from Gabe. He's like, hey, what's the story, what's going on? And it was all bad reception in the convention. And I look up, and you're just kind of sitting there, kind of half looking over your shoulder. You're like, I was waiting until you saw me standing here.
Yeah, you know.
It's fun.
I don't want to push it. I was busy chatting with Jeremy.
Did you see Lando Calrissian?
No. Okay. I think he'd gone by the time I was there.
Jeremy Miller sat right across from us.
Met Tracy Gold.
Totally. I was sitting in between the two stars that weren't Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon. That was so cool. Doug Jones, who is the physical actor as Abe Sapien in Hellboy. He's also in other movies by Gabriel del Toro. He's the guy with the hands and his eyes, and he's like a very thin, physical, tall actor, nonverbal. And when they put all the padding on, he looks like a normal, like, width and stuff like that. I guess he has to be very thin, but he's very good expressing. I took mime, Gabe. I took mime as a child. It was punishing.
Really? Because you never shut up now.
Jack Cohen's here, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Cohen, who has actually had more radio experience than either of us I put together.
Put together, yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Not at all.
Very good friend. We have a good dry. You share for me and Gabe, at least I think.
Yeah.
A good dry sense of humor. A good look at the world.
Yeah, I think that's true.
How terrible.
I actually don't have any radio experience at all, though.
Really?
I have film experience. I've done some,
Jack did
radio.
A great documentary.
I thought you...
I have no radio experience at all. I don't recall ever being on the radio. I think this is the first time I've ever been on.
You either lied to me or I've smoked way too much weed.
You smoke way too much weed.
Yeah, it's the second one. It's definitely the second one.
I wouldn't lie about that.
Mm. But I know that you have a great voice and a great knowledge of music.
I keep getting complimented on my voice lately, on the phone.
Yeah,
I am.
Do they like you? You're just butter on sausage.
Yeah, they're not giving me any money, but they're complimenting my voice.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's tough.
It's nice,
Well, you have a good heart. Nice. You do what you have to do what you want to, and you raise funds for nonprofit organizations.
And
then what you want to do though. And everyone that works at this fundraising place has got dreams and hopes and scripts and stuff.
A lot of great people work there. A lot of really good people work there.
I mean, one of the departments is ran by Dan Monahan, Pee-wee from Porky's.
I got to watch that again just to see him.
Go meet. And your other pursuits here in Los Angeles and Hollywood?
Well... I was an actor when I came out here 20-something years ago from New York. I worked at the Greek Theater. While you were talking about Disneyland, I remember the one and only time I was in Disneyland when I was working at the Greek. I was a bartender there from 89 to 91, and we had a day trip on, I guess it was 91, to Disneyland. They all wanted to go to Disneyland, so I went to Disneyland. It was the first time ever, and I recall the most distinct thing about it, I recall, was when I entered, it says over the entrance, the happiest place on earth.
Yep.
And all the people looked miserable. All the people waiting for you to come in and like to take the tickets and to sell you the tickets.
That's right.
They did not look happy at all. I thought it was a brilliant kind of like the contrast. And yeah, I didn't care much for the place. Not
they're forced to shave facial hair and cut their hair in a certain way. They've relaxed that in recent years, but Disneyland used to have a very strict employee. No mustaches, no goatees, no nothing.
I know people who love that place.
I love that place. I had a year pass and I went like 57 times that year.
Bunch of folks who just love it. It's the greatest. It's, you know, and I'm like, seriously?
I can picture the whole place in my mind, every single ride, every which way to go, the patterns of the day. You sniff it out. It's like crowd mentality in a riot. You're like, they're not on Indiana Jones now. Run to Space Mountain. The parade's going on. Go to our favorite rides because the parade's happening. Or stalk the Little Mermaid over and over and over again during the permit. Oh, she's cute. What? When do you work next? Thursday. We go back Thursday. Follow her seven times in the route. Oh, I lost. Sorry, I had a good friend. We just stalked the Little Mermaid in the. I wonder where she is today. Little Mermaid, where are you?
There's a bunch of them. There's a ton of them. Little Mermaids. I'm just saying.
Little Ariels.
That's the joy of growing up in the fucking shadow of the mouse. You learn all the little secrets and there's, you know.
The shadow of the mouse?
That's what I said.
I've worked for Disney like seven times. They're my favorite employer. They're kind of cheap, but they.
Why are they your favorite?
Because they pay on time.
What is it they do?
Well, number one, they make children's entertainment, which I love because the market is saturated with violence and sex. And to have something that parents can put on and, you know, watch Brave over and over. Watch, you know. I loved Tangled. Oh my God. Tangled is, I should have got an Oscar. I have nieces and nephews and stuff and little brother and we'll have watched the Disney vaults over the years. They're very savvy. Every 7 years they bring back a movie for a little while on DVD video and then take it away. Then new movies come out and it's like so consumed, such an expected product. When they come out with something, they don't fuck up like Pixar and Cars 2. Disney just keeps fucking delivering. And it's great to work for them. And they do, they're funny. They're fun to work with. I was shooting the cheetah in Africa. Actually wearing one of the crew shirts right now. You guys got to see this. Robert Homme Jr. did like the Ted Danson's Gulliver Travels movie. They're good on location and huge scope and lots of shit. In Africa, 30-day shoot with kids, animals, and exotic locations.
Nice. Very nice.
Very fun. Disney, and we did it on time and under budget. And it was a $1.5 million budget. They sold it to Disney as a negative pickup for $3 million. And it made $10 million at the box office. Thank you. Good night. Rated G. It's actually Buena Vista Distribution. Then I've done Touchstone Films and worked for Disney Television. And love them. Loved it. Please, Disney, please. I love you. Oh, my God. No, in the thing of Showtime and HBO and the violence, and I love Walking Dead. Tomorrow night is the premiere, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, the premiere of the new season of The Walking Dead. Are you a zombie freak?
I'm not.
Are you a vampire freak?
I love Breaking Bad. So
stay out of my territory.
Love Breaking Bad.
So do I. Did you ever think Bryan Cranston from
Malcolm in the Middle
would be
the guy's a genius
in Breaking Bad? Oh
guy
my
is
God.
A genius.
Great contrast.
He's the villain in the new new Total Recall. Mm. He's the big bad man. Mm. I mean, I can't think of anyone working in television today who's as versatile and just talented in so many different directions than Bryan Cranston. You don't get better than that. You know?
I love Breaking Bad. Who's the young man on Breaking Bad? His co-cook?
His name is Aaron Paul.
He was up for all sorts of Emmys and Oscars and Golden Globes or whatever, right?
Well, I think he's won a fair amount too.
Yeah. He's unbelievable on the show.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's terrific.
He was on The Neighbor, and they started doing junk, and I was like, whoa, this show really took off.
William Macy on Shameless is pretty terrific. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw the premiere of the new season where he takes, they're like, you took more yayo up your ass than any other white boy. Wow, we are impressed. How could you underbid us? We're Mexicans. Because dude, it's American dream, man. It's America. Learn the rules. At this point in the economy in America, people will be doing that. How fun to be live downtown Los Angeles on SkidRowStudios.com. There's amazing shows on Skid Row Studios. La Nista is blowing up. It's PT. It's about public transportation in this town. Listen in 24/7 to SkidRowStudios.com. Every single person involved in the studio is awesome. And all the shows are stuff you will never hear, never see. We have a Ustream. You can find it if you hunt around. We might be live right now.
Aren't we live 24/7 on the Ustream?
Yep.
Over the interwebs?
We sounded good. I tuned in one morning when we were replaying our show in the morning, like at 8 or 9 in the morning. They replay the call sheet. And I heard your voice, Gabe.
My silky.
Yeah, and it was like booming over the whole studio because the little mic on Ustream was picking up. I was like, that sounds damn good. All right.
Yeah, dude.
It's a good show. Yeah, dude.
That's the way I do. I got those vocal stylings, man.
Are you a fear? Where are you from, Jack?
I'm from New York.
I would never have guessed it. Do you think everyone in LA is narcissistic and fucking just so distracted and not present and not in front of you?
Not everyone. But good to know. A lot of people, yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's a very different place. It's like a different planet here.
I've heard that before, like it's outer space or we're spaced out.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of terrific people here too. There are a lot of really good people here too. You just got to work to find them.
It really depends on the circle of people that you meet up with in LA or know in LA.
Yeah.
It really does. That totally changes your, like the Valley, people that are calling in from 818, John Donahue. Dude, come over the hill. It's nice. It's cooler in the summer. There's more movie theaters. Come over the hill into Hollywood.
I don't know. My favorite movie theaters on the other side of the hill.
Favorite
movie theaters.
The Cinerama Dome, the
16.
The Chinese Theater, the Vista, the New Beverly Cinema. Mm-hmm. Those are my theaters.
Yeah, no. No. The Cinerama Dome, overrated. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Grauman Chinese Theater, the main theater.
Been there, not impressed.
What the fuck?
I'll say this. As like an interior, it's nice. But as far as like a movie-going experience, the screen, the sound, it needs to be redone. It needs to be overhauled. The place is out of date, man. Like it's a beautiful theater. It's a pleasure to look at. But once they turn the lights down and the movie starts, meh, not so much. You know, like and the ArcLight. I will say this: the main theaters in the ArcLight are beautiful. They're great. They're nice. But the Cinerama Dome, it's overrated. I mean, the thing is, it's not great. I've seen like four movies in there and had to go watch them again in other theaters because I couldn't really enjoy them.
What I love about the Cinerama Dome is that you'll be sitting in the theater, and I like to sit kind of close and up middle and, you know, close. I'll sit in the back fine. I don't care. I'll sit anywhere and watch a movie, but I love close. If you're just off axis center, you actually hear people talking 5-6 rows away from above you because the acoustics are so perfect. It hits these tiles in the roof and it comes down and you hear people talking and whispering straight above you. I saw 2001. I saw Hunt for October there. Love the Cinerama Dome. Man Chinese is awesome. Multiplexes, I'm torn because I want people to see the movies and there's overhead. And
I think the Vista is the most beautiful theater I've seen in LA. And I think the experience there is incredible. It's like you're sitting in first class.
It's
You've
a
got
mini
like 10
man
feet
Chinese
of leg room in front of you.
They have recliners in the front row. It's like ridiculous.
It's beautiful. The architecture, it's maintained really well. They show first run movies. Yeah. It's cheaper than any other theater, I think.
And which one is this?
The Vista.
I haven't been to the Vista yet and I want to. I want
that.
I just haven't had a chance yet. But, you know, and I've told you this. One of the things I like about the AMC is you go to any AMC theater. If a movie starts before noon, it's $6. In a day and age when you're paying $18.
We have a caller. Hello, thank you for calling 323. How can we take your order?
I was just saying how much I enjoyed this this Charlie Brown cartoon that I just saw on ABC.
Oh, my God. I know who this is.
And what a lovely voice I thought. And then I went, oh, no. I'm so close to Charlie Brown's voice right now. I just lost contact.
Is that Jennifer Rose?
It is
Jennifer Rose.
It's Jennifer, oh. Jennifer Rose.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Jen.
We're also joined by Jack Cohen tonight. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, I was so thrilled to actually... Oh, there it is. Hey. You guys want to hear yourself on TV? You want me to turn it up?
Oh, God, I'm scared of the feedback.
That didn't occur to me. He's talking to Peppermint Patty right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
So is he sitting right there?
No, Brad's not here tonight. It's just the three of us. No.
No. He's on the road. We couldn't do it.
Calling him out.
The other people have like families and commitments and obligations. I have Saturday nights free at 8 o'clock for the call sheet.
I think it's grand.
It was so funny. We were at the autograph show and we were promoting the autograph show. And another voice of Charlie Brown, he didn't do as many years as Brad, got arrested for stalking a girlfriend.
That was the Charlie Brown. That was Christmas, the Christmas one and the Great Pumpkin. And like, that was, I think it was even the first, like.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's been two main voices for Charlie Brown.
There's several.
There've been a bunch.
Yeah,
Lucy.
And
because you get to, as soon as your voice cracks, they fire you. Yeah, you're out the door. They hire a new one.
8 to 12 year olds.
Yep. Hit the bricks.
Brutal.
Your voice cracked? Hit the bricks and beat it, pal. You're out of here.
Yeah.
What?
I thought I'd caught the Charlie Brown thing. But anyway, what else is going on tonight at the station?
Oh, man. It's a beautiful night in downtown.
There's a drum kit in the lobby. It's awesome.
I played drums earlier very poorly.
It was really funny because Keith is sitting there in his coat, wearing his backpack, trying to play drums. And I'm like, I have never seen a drummer in so much clothing.
Can I ask why there is a drum kit? Because there really is one in the lobby. Why is there a drum kit in the lobby?
Our engineer.
Yeah. Is it Mindy's?
It's Mindy's. Mindy our producer, is a freaking awesome drum player.
I get here early and practice before work.
Hey, how can we hear a riff? Can you play like 16 bars for us? Can we mic that?
Is there even a mic out there?
There is. I'd have to set it up. It'd take me a little bit.
Are the acoustics good in the lobby? Is that why you're in the lobby? Are the acoustics...
No, I think it's just...
That's just where it fits.
And the building is largely empty, so we don't have to worry about...
Why'd you put it in my ass? That's just where it fits.
I had a much more romantic notion, but we can make it romantic. Have you ever looked up the word romance in Webster's Dictionary, by the way?
No, what's it say, Jen?
It's a one-word definition. Fiction. It goes on to say exaggerated details under the guise of l'amour.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was locked up in the Tower of London writing the dictionary, so what does he know?
Well, if...
Wait, where did Webster write his dictionary?
Back when then.
What?
But that was his definition.
Where did he write it? Didn't he write it in
New England? I visited his house. It's in Connecticut.
Didn't he write it in a church or in a...
Well, he wrote it in a lot of places. It took him like a decade to write the dictionary.
That's not bad.
I think he wrote it in a Starbucks. I'm not sure.
That's not bad.
One fucking coffee. He waited out all day and he wrote that shit in a Starbucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long are you guys going to be on the air tonight? This is fun.
Judging by the clock on the wall, we got another 15 minutes, 40 seconds.
Oh, okay. So you're at the end of your sojourn. Was it great tonight?
So far, so good. We've talked about a bottle of wine stuck in John Donahue's ass. We've talked about Club 33. We talked about...
So it makes no sense whatsoever that I called it about Charlie Brown. Is that what you're telling me?
Nothing we do makes sense, Jen. You know that. You fit right in.
Oh, good. I finally belong somewhere. And I guess it's romantic.
Fix it.
It was either going to be Charlie Brown or the kid that wished everyone into a cornfield in Twilight Zone, the movie. Or little Ben Seaver. And everyone's busy. Everyone has lives and families and babies coming. And
they must be exhausted.
I'm impressed. I mean, they do shit. They make babies.
They do. Well, you know, we only have 15 minutes. Don't get me started. So, guys, it was a delight and always an honor.
Thank you for calling
in,
Jen.
In your radio presence.
Hold on. Before you go, Jen, I want Keith to tell me this joke that he told me in the car on the way here about the light bulb and the Jewish mother.
Oh, I think she knows this.
I'm sure she does, but I love her reactions.
How many Jewish mothers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
None. It's all right. I'll sit in the back. God, I love a good audience.
Hey, how many Palestinians did you screw in a light bulb?
Don't do it.
Oh, here we go.
No. I'm just kidding. They don't have any power. I'm just kidding. He went there.
Well, for 5,000 years of...
Didn't you go on like a really bad date?
Yeah. Oh, tell me about this. I want to hear about that.
Yeah,
and
there's like Broadway shows involved, but it's bad.
Oh, tell the story, Jen, please.
Well, here's how it goes. When I first went to New York, being that I'm from Kentucky and went to school at Indiana, I met this whole Ivy League crowd, which is a whole different world, you know, for me. And one of the guys, you know, my name's Jennifer Brown. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I was a Delta Gamma at Indiana. So he has some kind of vision of what I guess he thinks I am. Anyway, it was our third date. We were definitely going home together that night. This is the romantic dinner portion of the evening. And he reaches across the table for my hand. We'll call it romantically. And says, you know what the problem with Manhattan is, Jennifer? And I thought he was going to say, there's no bed as soft and warm as mine. And I was like, no, what's the problem with Manhattan? He said, too many fucking Jews.
Like, oh, my God.
Worst pregame line ever. Whether
worst
I'm
pregame
not,
line.
Which I am. He just didn't figure that I was.
It might work with a very small portion of the population.
Should I tell the rest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just took my hand away from his. And as I like to say to my friends, my vagina just snapped shut. The whole restaurant heard that. You know, my arms are folded. I'm back in my chair. And he says, well, what's wrong? Is one of your good friends Jewish or something? I said, no, one of your good friends is. And he still doesn't get it. And I'm just sitting there, as I say, with a neon sign on my forehead saying, shalom, moron. Like, I'm the one, right? Can you see this? Hello? And he says, well, you're not. And I'm shaking my head, yes. He goes, well, you're not all Jew. I mean, are you adopted? I'm like, shh.
You're
quicksand already.
Back up.
You're sinking fast. And I pretty much dramatically took my napkin off my lap, put it on the table, and walked out. And wondered if I was going to hear from him, which I did the next day.
Wow, like, that's...
1-800-NAZI, can I help you?
That's...
And he says to me, that was pretty bad, huh? And I was like, yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah. He said, I somehow want to make it up to you. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? And he said, well, I want it to be a surprise, and I'll pick you up in a limo. Let's not make that our last memory.
Wait. Did he convert? Was that the surprise?
Hell no. He tried to, and here's how. He said, he'll pick me up in a limo. It'll be a surprise. And I said, well, as long as you're not taking me to a train station, I'll get in.
Shit. Oh my God.
He picks me up in the limo, and I realize we're going to Broadway. And this is, you know, a long time ago, back in the early 80s. So what is he taking me to see? I kid you not, we pull up to Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, my God.
And I said to him, are you going with me? It's like a synagogue in there. You know? He goes, he tolerates, he listens, he learns. He drops me back off, and I never see him again.
Wow.
But, People were doing back then when they were doing stupid things, they apologized to people by taking them to Broadway shows. And I didn't know that, being that I was new. And my first date, who passed out before dinner came, passed out face down on the plate in front of me, his apology was tickets to Evita. And that was my first Broadway show in New York. And that was my first apology date. This is the second one. And by the time I had the third date, I am looking in the theater section hoping somebody's going to do something stupid. Because this time I wanted to choose the show. For date number three. That's what Keith's talking about.
Thanks
for letting me do that.
Oh, thanks, Jen, for calling in. And
sure.
Do you like it? Do you like you and Jack both have New York experience? What do you like better? I know there's douches in L.A. There's douches in New York, just less. Do you like L.A., New York? Where do you want to live?
Oh gosh, I love New York. I don't.
Wow.
You know, I would miss L.A., but God, I love New York. I would love to move back to New York. I would.
There was a line in a song.
Ooh, we have another caller,
a few years ago.
Jen, hey, we have another caller.
Go. Have
love
fun.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Said,
okay, love you. Bye-bye.
One of the things it said in the song was live in
Hello?
New York City
Thank
once,
you for calling.
But leave before it makes you hard. Live in Southern California once, okay. But leave before it makes you soft.
That's clever.
Do I hit it again?
Did we lose our caller?
I don't know. Did you lose your caller? You got another one.
My what a sexy, God. Smoky voice
I think I know
that
who this is.
Do you think you know
I
who
think
that
I know
is?
Who this
you have
is.
No idea who this is.
I got a hunch.
Oh, come on. Hunch. You got a hunch. You got a hump. You got, what do you got?
Wow.
I don't know.
How many different pencils of black coal eyeliner do you own, Leanne?
How dare you? That's a personal question.
Do you know that I've shown pictures from the event last February 1st, February 2nd, the Hollywood LA Celebrity Autograph Show. I've shown pictures and they go, she couldn't have been in those movies. That's ridiculous. Those were 25 years ago. What? She looks fucking 31 years old.
It's the embalming.
It's the dove's blood.
How often do they embalm? Is that a regular thing, or you just do it once every couple
every
of years?
Every 28 days. It goes along with my
That's awesome.
Wow, wow.
So I can't believe I'm talking to you guys live, and I'm walking my Yorkie. Is that what they call it now? Yes. Walking the dog. And talking on the radio.
Make sure you curb that Yorkie.
You curb your tongue.
Young
man.
So, hello.
What are you doing?
We're just fucking around.
Yeah,
you
we
know.
Got like 7 minutes left. We're fucking around. Totally love that you reminded me of Tammy Lauren the other day.
Where's her policeman? I remember when she had to get out of jail free card all the time and she would flash it. If we sped, she'd be like, hi, this is my friend.
Yeah, she's a black belt.
That's okay.
She's
a black belt. Jacqueline's a black belt.
So Tammy played
I'm
like
almost a black belt.
Tammy was like my sister. I did a bunch of chips and shit with Tammy Lauren, and Leanne is a great, wonderful actress. But we don't need to mention any projects. I mean, who does cool movies from the 80s? But other than Keith Coogan.
You're the only one. I actually really don't exist. This is just a figment of Keith's imagination here.
Wow.
Obviously.
I have amazing powers of projection. That's pretty cool.
You've got amazing all kinds of stuff, Keith Coogan.
I'm really, really happy that you called in. What did you... Have you done... It was my first autograph show, Leanne.
Really? That was my second one.
And
you were a virgin?
Yeah, I was totally. I got my cherry popped hard.
We popped your autograph cherry. Uh-oh. It's okay. It's all good. We need to take you to Chiller or some kind of like popcorn.
I've done one horror movie with like a snake. That's it.
With like a snake?
Yeah.
Was it,
yeah, no, like
what kind
a snake.
Of rating was that?
like Python. I was with Robert
some
Englund.
Kind of
I've worked with Robert Englund, who's the total horror, like would be the king god at a horror convention.
Apparently, he's like a really, really, really nice man.
He is. He's very funny. And you were in Critters, too.
I was.
Yes, you were. No, I wasn't.
We missed
upset.
You.
Oh, thank you.
Scott Grimes.
Thank you. You know, I auditioned for 16 Candles for Farmer Ted.
Farmer Ted?
Yeah. Did not
he
get
wasn't
it
there the other day.
I was very upset. No, no. But we saw David Faustino and I Dream of Jeannie. And
Michael Parry. I was in the cougar room, man. They put me in the room. I wanted to be in the room with me. And they put me in the fucking cougar room. They put me in there with Tippy fucking Hedren. Okay, and I have 40 birds.
Fairchild.
I'm like, Scott, what are you trying to tell me? Fucker. Lonnie Anderson. Morgan, smile down. Fairchild. Barbara Eden. Was it Leslie Ann Warren? Who was that?
Leslie Ann Warren.
She was there. One, Marianne from Gilligan's Island. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why am I in this room?
Well, at least you were there with, like, Brad and Angie. Like, at least you had cool people in there.
I love those two.
Oh, they're
Brad
so
kept
sweet.
Me going. I photobombed his ass good.
Me and Todd Bridges photobombed a good one. Yeah. And I was sitting across from Jeremy Miller and Tracy Gold, and I was also next to... the original Jennifer from Back to the Future, Claudia Wells. And
that's
Wednesday
right,
from
Armani Wells. She dresses men.
Yeah, she does.
Very
she wanted
nicely,
to,
apparently.
She wanted to dress me. Gave me a card.
I
come
think,
down.
No. She didn't want to dress you, Keith. She wanted to undress you.
I don't know. There's too much Christian Bible walk the path shit with
Look,
her.
She had her hands all over you.
I had my hands all over her.
She was.
In his head movie.
Yeah.
In my little head movie.
I'm imagining things. Oh, wow. That was a fun. It was surreal for me because it was the most direct whorish connection between having done work or whatever and taking the money. It was,
you think?
Oh, what do you mean you think? I felt like I was on a fucking pole.
I wish we had a picture of that. No, I'll settle for the 3D tango picture we tossed. That was good.
You did. I saw the 2D version on Twitter and Facebook. I love the 3D version, though. That was very cool.
I wish I could post 3D. That would be awesome.
Facebook. Tonight's show brought to you by 3D Pictures by Facebook. Sorry, that's for the automatic readers, echelon system that listens to all communications, and Facebook will get that, and they'll get the note, and they'll create it.
I think we should have Keith Book.
Keith Book.
Keith Book.
My narcissistic quality really appreciates that.
Yes.
Do you like that? It was a very ego, you're ego-driven.
Yeah, I tried to drop it since like 93, but it just won't stick. I don't know.
Keep throwing it at the wall, Keith.
Thanks. You are very hot, very sexy, very disappointed you have kids and love someone and are with someone stable.
You kept looking at that finger like you wanted to amputate that shit.
Really?
Yeah, the one with the sparkly crow magnet on it.
Talk about narcissism.
Wow. I get a tattoo of you on my arm.
Would you?
Yeah.
And then he'd make it,
would
dance,
you make it dance
like Pete.
Yes, I would make it dance. Your IMDb picture is beautiful, Leanne Curtis.
It's a little risque.
No, it's not.
No, all right.
No.
Most actresses from 80s movies don't walk around with a half-shaved head like Skrillex.
I like that there's two. You've got the classic black and white, you know, and then the one that's just awesomeness. The one that I feel like that second one is more really you, and that's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, one of those happy accidents in a almost kind of dark studio. I don't know how I was happy.
Wow.
I've obviously posted it several times. More, that's my ego talking now. I like that picture too, guys.
Yeah. You look good. We have literally a minute left. Love you, Leanne.
Let's
Thanks
talk
for
about
calling
something
in.
Other than me. I'm crazy.
I know.
Don't waste it on me.
I know.
I love you. Come hang out with me, Keith.
All right. Oh, my God. All right. Thanks for calling in. Love you, Leanne. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye. We have another caller.
Let's grab it real quick. 20 seconds left to go.
And they're gone. 310 calling in. Thank you for taking the call. How can we help you?
Hello?
Thank you. That's what I hear all day. Jack Cohen, Gabe Romero, Keith Coogan, thanks for listening to The Call Sheet. Thanks for Leanne Curtis and John Donahue for calling in. And our caller gets the last word.
And Jennifer Brown.
Hey, this is Brian Stamper. I'm a friend of Gabriel.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for listening all the way out in Texas.
Very, very different tone. After all their death bombs.
I'm sorry.
We're playing you off. Thanks for accepting the award. But, oh, man. All right, call in next week.